Good morning and welcome. This is Let's Talk on Z1570. Mark Ellenbrock here with you today. Thanks for tuning in. We got some sunshine outside. That is a good way to start the day if you're just getting going here. We'll say it's late for us if you've been up and at it for a while, but glad you're along with us here for the first hour of Let's Talk. For part of our show today, we're going to talk about customer service and beyond, actually. Dawn Michelle is my guest, and for, I guess, nearly 10 years, Dawn has been at this on the side, in addition to her full-time job, which we'll hear about in just a second, but she works with businesses, groups, you name it. She's probably worked with a group that you can think of. And talking about customer service, dealing with the public, dealing with each other. And we're going to talk about how that affects how you spend your money, how you shop, how you do business. But also, we're going to get into customer responsibilities, too. It's not just a one-way street. Dawn, first of all, welcome to Z1570. Good morning.
Thanks for having me this morning.
This is it's a fun topic for me. It's a topic we've used from time to time here just on the air for open line topics, people talking about their experiences, both good, but sometimes mainly bad or mainly negative because people are frustrated by the things they experience out in the world. So we want to get into that and also get into what I thought was an important part of it, too. This is a two-way street. You are, as a customer, responsible in one way or the other for your behavior and your attitude. And I know that's a lot of what you talk about is attitude. But tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, how this all started for you.
Sure. I own Customer Service and Beyond, and I wrote a book last year, Customer Service and Beyond. It is all about the wow. And I did it because I felt that there was a need to help people in customer service. You get put into this job. No one tells you the importance of smiling. And really, customer service does affect the bottom line. So I think we all have to know that. And then there is a piece in the book about how to be a good customer, because I think that's as important as well.
And being a good customer means you're a customer not just at a store or a restaurant, but I guess also when you go to the doctor's office, when you are dealing with, a banker or a realtor. I mean, as someone where perhaps money will change hands. So technically, I guess you are a customer, but maybe not in the way that most of us think of going to the store as a customer.
I hear from people, grocery store, banks, I hear the biggest frustration is people are on their cell phone when they come up. And I know people say, well, I should be able to be on my cell phone. That's great, but to expect to get great service from someone when you have someone else engaged is very tough. So, you know, the fact that you don't want to be rude and you want to be appropriate, if you have a problem, speak to the manager, your tone of voice, your body language, all of the stuff that I train on to be a great customer service provider, also people can use to be a great customer.
When you started this, how did you convince your first client that, you know, you knew what you were talking about?
In 94, I had an experience, a very quick story. I went to a grocery store, and I walked all the way through the grocery store, and no one greeted me. No one said hello. No one said hi, anything. And so I get to the grocery to the end, and the checker's checking out $81.13 worth of groceries. Get to the finish, and no one still has said a word to me. How are these brownies? Nothing. So I run my debit card, and I say to the checker, aren't you going to even say thank you? The checker tears off the receipt, hands it to me, and says, it's on the bottom of your receipt. I about died. So that was my very first post-it note to a book that took me, about 15 years to write, really. And I just kept accumulating stories. And I realized in 2000 when I switched careers that there was this need that no one else was doing. So I secret shopped for a company, and I gave them a report. And I said, look, I would love to help you out. And that company ended up being one of my largest clients, who flew me to Colorado and Kansas City. And I secret shopped for them and then became their trainer for their company. So that was my very first client. And now I have about 85 clients.
And so you do this on a regular basis. You were telling me before you do it maybe sporadically for some companies, and some you do it weekly.
I do weekly. I will go speak with them. I will send email reminders because I believe keeping it up front is very important. So this particular client says to me, every week we need something from you, whether you come in and speak to a part of a staff or speak at a luncheon or send us a tips reminder. So every week I do have contact with this client.
There is a belief, I think, out there in our listening audience, because I've heard them, because they've called in and talked about there has been something lost in a generation that that they don't know how to get back. You know, the politeness, the looking someone in the eye when they speak, the firm handshake, things like that, please and thank you, you know, the mm-hmm. typical things that we, you know, try to mm-hmm. teach our kids, or at least some people say they try to teach our kids. And I've heard that employers use an excuse that, well, you know, we've got some of these young people and they don't know how to do it, but I need somebody to work, and so I deal with what I with the best I can do. Mm-hmm. How would you respond to, well, first of all, the employer? How do you respond to an employer who says, well, this is what I have, and I'm doing the best I can, and I need somebody to fill the shift?
First of all, the employer has to set the example. Second of all, I feel like that I can have rude service from a 58-year-old or a 70-year-old or a 19-year-old. So I'm not thoroughly convinced that this generation is the problem. What I am thoroughly convinced is that people have put customer service on the back burner. And I also don't remember as a kid, and I'm 44, I don't remember getting outstanding service everywhere. So I think sometimes people also remember the mom and pop store, but they don't remember also because there is great service out there today, and you can find it if you look really, really, really hard. You can find it. But I also think that it's up to the employer, and sometimes the employer wants to place blame, and really where you have to look at as an employer is yourself. Am I getting to work early? Am I dressing appropriately? Am I wearing a name tag? Am I greeting everyone who comes in? Am I doing the best job that I can every day? Because you can't expect your employees to do it. You have to set your expectations higher than your employees, and you have to live it every single 24 hours day of your life.
Do you recommend for those employees and for a company similar dress, especially if they're dealing with the public every day, similar dress, name tags, those types of things?
I do. I think there's some relationship building that has to be done, and to know each other's names is very important. I definitely, in most scenarios, I recommend name tags. In some scenarios, I recommend uniforms, but not always. I have to tell you, I'm not a big uniform person. What mm-hmm. I am is that you need to dress appropriately. I don't care if your staff want to dress in jeans. Is it appropriate in your industry to be wearing jeans? It's not about the employee. It's about the customer coming in.
How do you convince, that's a good one, how do you convince employees because of the way they're used to dressing a certain way? I had a chance to talk to some students last week at Alton High School. We're talking about this business, but just kind of generally kind of talked about presenting yourself during an interview and those types of mm-hmm. things, and dress and things. What do you say to a group of of teenagers, of 20 somethings, of just out of college students? You know, how do you present yourself when you're going to work?
Funny that you say that. I was the keynote speaker that morning in Alton, so I was there. So I actually had the opportunity to talk about that. I think the employer has to set the standards up front. That employee needs to know expectations in the interview and what's expected. You know, if you can't work at my Chamber of Commerce, for example, and have a nose ring and have purple hair, because I don't need you out there representing me, but I'm very upfront about what my expectations are. So I think that also, of course, I don't have purple hair. You're looking at me, and I don't have a nose ring, and I don't have a tattoo hanging on. So, and if I do it, I can do it on my own time. But really, when you own a business, there is no your own time. You are always on, and you are always representing yourself. I also believe that you hire people with passion. You hire people who want to be owners of the company, and you don't hire renters. A renter is someone who comes to get a paycheck because they have to, because the parents said they had to come work there. An owner is someone who says, gosh, I come to the interview. I know what the chamber is. I've done some research. I'm willing to do anything, because bottom line is, don't come work for me and say it's not my job. Because I'm never going to tell you that either. Yesterday I was hauling boxes into my car, and because that's what needed to be done. You know, when they hired me, they didn't, it's not on my job description, but that last line says everything else is, you need to do.
Your job.
All other duties as required, yeah.
Don Michelle is my guest, customer service and beyond, here on Z1570. We'll take a break here in just a second. For the customer, we talked a little bit about that at the beginning, and I want to talk about that still, that attitude has a lot to do with it. If you go in to a place and you've, had a quote-unquote bad day, and so you walk in and, are kind of snippy with an employee about a certain thing, or the owner. I mean, it may be the owner. In these days, in a small business, it might be the owner and one employee. What does it say about attitude for customers? How should they carry themselves when doing business?
I think of myself as being that service provider and what I would want. In 44 years, I have never, ever, ever yelled at a service provider because I don't believe that that's what needs to happen. Have I been angry? Sure. But I decide what it is I need. What could I have done differently? Because it's not always their problem. There's usually something that I have done that I might have done differently. And I ask for the appropriate people, and I sit down and I have a nice conversation. And, if it's not resolved the way I want, then I simply don't come back. But I don't not come back and not try to resolve it, because I don't mm-hmm. think that's fair.
We're going to continue here on Let's Talk on Z1570, another segment. If you have a question about customer service, if you're a business owner, a manager, you can call in with an example or a question, a situation you're dealing with, or if you are a customer, a member of the public, like I guess we all are, and dealing with business day in and day out, you can talk to us as well at 465-1570. We'll pause here for a few messages and come back with more conversation with Don Michelle right after this. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Let's Talk continues on Z1570. Dawn Michelle is my guest, and she has a business called Customer Service and Beyond. It's all about the wow. And Dawn, you describe in your book, which has the same title, but it's sort of the theme of your business and theme of your life, really, is that for every client you visit with, you want them to be able to create an atmosphere where there's a wow involved.
Yes. Every time someone leaves your business, if they go, wow, that was the best service I've ever received, guess what? They will be back, and guess what? That affects your bottom line. So people are doing business in the same business that you're doing. You need to be better than your best competitor.
So how do they find out what their competitor's doing?
Well, I actually provide secret shopping for my clients as well. I do a little bit of competitive secret shopping as well, but mostly I do secret shopping. So a client will call and say, you know, we want to be wow. We want people to say wow. I will go in and pose as a shopper, take some notes, determine what they're doing great, where I could see improvement, and then I develop a training based on that. Then I come and we do the training, mm-hmm. and then I encourage the employees and the managers to get together and decide what standards of service they want to set. And that is really the key. If you hire me and I leave and you don't do anything about it, but setting some service standards. For example, greeting people within 5 seconds, everyone smiles, everyone wears a name tag. I mean, there's tons of things that you can decide what it is. Thanking everyone for coming in, thanking them for choosing your business, follow-up phone calls, handwritten thank you notes. I mean, there's thousands of ideas. But as an organization, to get buy-in from your organization, you all have to agree standards. Do not be the president of the company, write it and send it down. It's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about these goals and things. I'm thinking of companies or businesses that I've been in the past couple of weeks where I had been greeted. And I remember exactly mm-hmm. those that I have been greeted and those that I can wander around. Or even, I guess the thing that gets me is that, and not to get off on this tangent for a second, but the thing that gets me is not being greeted while you're checking out. You used that example from you many mm-hmm. years ago, but it's still, you know, happening. And it wasn't a kid. Mm-hmm. It was a grown adult mm-hmm. who just didn't even look up.
It's sad to know that you have to be in the moment with yourself. And so what was that person thinking? Well, sadly, sometimes at the grocery store, they are talking to the bagger. And I'm saying, who is the most important person in that person's life at that moment? Well, I am the customer. But when you're the customer service provider, I don't think you're thinking about that. You're thinking it's a job. I got my paycheck. I got a break in 20 minutes, and I need to get out of here because I have to go get the kids off to school or whatever.
I know what happened with your date last night. Why don't you tell me?
Yeah, exactly.
Overhearing.
There are easy questions like, how was your day? Oh, that scarf is very pretty. And you know what? If they have children with them, address the children, and you will win that customer forever. My niece is 12. Yeah. If you just ask her how her day is going and how's school going, I will be your customer forever. But you know what? That never happens. Mm-hmm. I say never. Very rarely happens. And you know, we're familiar with the people we're familiar with, and I encourage companies to expand that and talk with people that they might not otherwise talk with.
And to me, it is a help as a parent, because it distracts the kids because they're being engaged instead of, oh, what's on this shelf or mm-hmm. what can I run by the door? They are now forced to converse, and while they're checking out, they can chat, and the mm-hmm. transaction is complete.
And it is. And I have a doctor's office I just did a training for, and the receptionists were very, very frustrated about the kids that run around. And I said, what can you do about it? Well, I can't yell at them. No, you can't yell at them. But what you can do about it is you can provide the kids something. You can go out and give them a sticker and tell them how great they are and provide them with, I don't know, so whatever you think is appropriate. So they tried it for a week, and they called, and they said, oh, my goodness. You know, you can't blame the parent. You could sit and blame the parent all the time, but really, what can you do? I always tell people, what is it that you can do? You can't change others. What can you do? And mm-hmm. what a difference. And they interact with them, and they talk with them, and they ask them, and they added a VCR. So just a few things have helped them. And look mm-hmm. at the child. You know, and the parent's mm-hmm. happy then, too, because the parent's going to come in. They're going to be happy. Everybody wins here.
Yeah. Your clients are varied. One thing that intrigued me, you also speak to education groups, whether it be schools or teachers' organizations. How do you develop a message for them, because you know they're dealing with kids every day in most situations, but they're also dealing with each other, administration, and parents. They have a lot of people mm-hmm. that they deal with.
It's all about customer service across the board. Everyone can read my book. That's the thing about my book is if you're a teacher, just think about this. You have a parent who comes in. You need to smile and greet them and shake their hand. It's all the same as being a bank. It's the same as being a restaurant. You have to understand and to be in the moment with that parent. And the parent's probably not coming to tell you you're doing a great job, I have to tell you. Maybe maybe they are, but in a lot of situations, they're angry. So how to deal with angry people. I have a whole two-hour seminar, how to deal with angry customers. That's an angry customer. But I also believe that that teacher has to be a role model. I teach at SWCC. I've been at SWCC for 15 years. I am a role model to the students. I get to class early. I dress appropriately, which I believe dress appropriately is business or business casual, but business, no jeans, nothing like that. I do think, I have to say this, that school districts are doing a disservice, and I know you're going to have teachers calling in, by dressing down in jeans and in appropriate whatever they're wearing. You're setting standards for these kids. So these kids think it's okay, then they go out to the employer and think they can just like this, and it's not true.
You mind taking a couple phone calls here?
I would love a couple phone calls.
Dawn Michelle is my guest, talking about customer service this morning. If you have a question or comment about that, you can join us here on the air, and you are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a wrong number.
Oh, well, we're sorry about that. You can try back. Every once in a while, we get the wrong numbers. But if you'd like to join us, our number is 465-1570. Let's keep our fingers crossed for this caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, do you think there's more of this today with the way people dress? I don't think we had as much trouble with, there were, you know, more manners, more, and when we went to work, we were always told to leave our troubles at home, and I never will forget that. And just everybody was more respectful. We've lost it, is what I think today, and maybe a lot of it's due to dress.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for your comment.
I think dress has absolutely went to more casual. And in some businesses, that is okay, but I think sometimes we've taken it to the extreme. As far as manners, I think, you know, the one thing that we can do is continue to make sure that we have them. I don't remember consistently getting great service. So I guess I'm struggling a little bit with that. I don't think it's a generation thing, but I do absolutely agree with the dress. I think that we have gone casual. I can tell you that I'm sitting here in jeans today. So I'm going to tell you that I am not, but I know when to dress up and I know when it's appropriate. I know if I own my own business, when I need to be appropriate. But yeah, I think we have gone casual. I'm going to say yes on that.
And casual too, and you referred to this earlier about the lack of attention because we're distracted by cell phones, by texting, by checking our Facebook status, by seeing what the weather is, seeing what the news. You know, we have all these connections to the world. What about that? And use of that for the customer. That can be for an employer having a meeting with somebody. I mean, just it's very distracting.
You bet. Cell phones in themselves are very distracting. I do a lot of networking, of course, a lot of events with our chamber, and to have someone with an earpiece in walking around networking basically says to me,
"Are you security?"
I'm going to talk to you until someone more important comes in my ear, and then I'm going to walk away. And I say, "Why would you not have the moment with the person?" So it's no different than, how about this? You're standing at the checkout, and the person is texting. Now, how rude is that? And you know what, though? The employer has to set some standards, just like the dress code. Don't allow your staff to dress the way they want. Allow them to dress the way that you believe that your customers want that.
And in doing that, that's across the board, from younger generations that some people might think are all bad to anyone, no matter where they're coming from.
I agree. And it's funny because this morning I texted Jeff Macklin, who has me here today, and I said to him, what's appropriate dress? Are jeans appropriate? And he said, yes. So I wanted to make sure that I wasn't sure. I mean, we are on radio. It's not TV. So
exactly. We dress for radio.
But I do have my logo shirt on and, you know, my hair's done and whatever. So.
And speaking of that, because Dom mentioned the story when we were chatting before we started the show, you have your logo on the back of your vehicle, too. And
I
so
do.
You were, and you mentioned the story about managers being on 24/7. Because you own your own company, you're on 24/7.
Yeah, I put that on the back of my logo. And I remember leaving the company thinking, what have I done? You know, I'm driving down the road and I cut somebody off, and you know, of course, they are then making an image of me and my company and my book and whatever.
Exactly.
I do. And so I have a great real quick story. I was speaking with high schoolers about how to dress for an interview, and I didn't have a suit on intentionally because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't appropriately dressed for an interview. I had some dress pants on and a sweater, and I said, so am I dressed appropriately for an interview? And a guy raises his hand and goes, no. And I said, what would I need? And he said, a suit. So then the next person raised their hand and goes, and I would do something with that hair. Well, my hair wasn't intentionally supposed to look like that. So out of the mouth of babes. And so I went home and got a little haircut and decided that I needed something. But a great example of just asking it and being appropriate when you need to be.
Dawn Michelle is my guest. Customer Service and Beyond is her business. She's based right here in the area, based exactly in Troy. You work for the chamber over there, right?
I do. I'm the executive director of the Troy Maryville St. Jacob Chamber of Commerce, and actually in June celebrate 10 years. So I love what I do. I have a passion for both jobs. So to be CEO of two companies and actually love what you do, life is good.
Let's jump to another call here, and you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi. I'm really glad to hear this topic come up because it's really one of my passions also. A few years back, we went to one of the local sandwich shops, and one of the young men was serving, you know, getting food ready, and he had, one of those protrusions or whatever out of his nose. It was just, it was so disgusting. I've never gone back in there. It, you know, it's just not appropriate, and I'm just really glad to hear some of these things addressed.
Thank you.
I have a great story. I was speaking at high school not too long ago, or actually at the college, and someone said to me, well, I'm going to wear tattoos, and that's how it's going to be. And I said, well, that's great. If that's what you want to be, you couldn't come work for me. And he said, well, I'm going to open my own company, and I'm going to open my own restaurant. And I said, well, that's fine. He goes, and all my staff are going to be able to have tattoos and earrings. And I said, well, you know what? And that's great. I said, but I'm going to tell you, my generation has the money. So if my generation doesn't come to your restaurant, you're not going to be able to stay up. And he said, you wouldn't come to my restaurant just because I offended you? Absolutely, I told him. And so after class, he came over and he goes, you know, I think I get it. He goes, I think I get it. He goes, I got to change my attitude, don't I? And I said, you know, I wasn't going to tell you that. So it's a great example. You know, I have to tell the caller as well, I am absolutely the same way. I can be so offended by things like that that I will not return.
And what is the, in your mind, what is the appropriate thing to do? And caller, thank you very much for calling in, by the way. What would you do in a situation like that? Or if you're a customer and you have a negative experience, do you just not go back? Or do you give them a second chance? Do you call the manager, write a letter? What's appropriate for the situation?
Well, I do it both ways. When I get great service, when I get outstanding wow service and I leave, I will ask for the manager, I will autograph a book, and I will give it to the person that provided me that wonderful service because I think it has to go both ways. When I get bad, and this wasn't even bad service, this was just an experience of why I won't come back, I will usually tell the manager. Maybe that's why my husband won't go out to eat with me very often. But I'm very appropriate when I do it. I'm very appropriate when I do it. And I will offer some suggestions and tell them why. Many times the employer will just be, okay. Now, if it's a business owner that owns their own business, it's a little different. They're a little more listening. But, you know, when business starts to go down, you have to take a look at yourself as the owner and the manager and determine what it is you can do differently. Don't blame your customers. Something's going on.
Don Michelle is my guest just for a few more moments here on Z1570's Let's Talk, and we're talking about customer service here this morning. So this it spans generations. It has a way of obviously affecting the bottom line. If you don't deliver, people are going to come back. People are going to do business with you. You mentioned being a secret shopper, and doing this with your clients from time to time. A lot of us have seen the ads or heard of possibilities of being secret shoppers. What should we be aware of and if we try to answer an ad or want to be a secret shopper?
I would be very careful. You know, there are a lot of scams out there. They want you to send in money. People ask me all the time, how do I become a secret shopper? And I said, you need to research the company. You need to learn about them. Go to the Better Business Bureau. Make sure it's legit. There are not a lot of legitimate companies out there. Also, to understand that it is not as simple as going to eat at a restaurant and getting paid for it. I mean, there's a lot of detail.
Yeah.
And you can, I'll tell you, I've done it for many years, and there's a lot of detail. There's a lot more to it than simply getting paid for it.
And as you've obviously honed your skills, and you know what affects customer service and what affects someone's bottom line, I guess, can we be too picky sometimes? Should we always expect perfect service?
I don't think I ever expect perfect service, but I would love to get wow service once in a while. And I can tell you in the last 90 days, I'm thinking I got it once, and I think they actually thought I might be secret shopping. So, So sadly, I think everyone should provide great service, and we all have the ability to do that. We sometimes make the choice to want it as the customer, but not to provide it as the customer service provider. But I have a lot of tips on my website that people can go if they're interested.
Tell us your website.
CustomerServiceAndBeyond.com, or you can go to my name, Dawn. M-U-S-H-I-L-L. I respond to all emails immediately because I want you to walk away and say, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
She actually answered my email. Let's take another call here, Dawn, if you got a second.
Sure.
And let's grab this caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
You ought to go to that Fast Age Chicken up here on Central. I tell you what, they're just dry and to the chase. I mean, no high.
All right. We don't want to I thought we was going to tell this good story. We don't want to, we're not bashing people on the air. It's just something that people have to work on. And I guess for some, you have to learn. If, you know, if they're not experienced, it just,
you do. That's why I train. My niece says to me, Aunt Dawn, are you serious? Do they pay you to teach people to smile? And I said, you know, Bailey, they do.
Because
seriously, though, when people, but here's the problem with when I have people call and go, you know, XYZ company really needs you. And the thing is, I don't want to go train mediocre companies who don't get it. I want companies who are good, who want to be great. The mediocre companies or the companies that are less than mediocre even don't even think customer service exists. You know, sort of the example that he gave, you aren't greeted. Well, the thing that we can change about ourselves is if in any, when most of us are in customer service at some level, what can we do differently? You can't change other people. And that's the hardest thing to understand is that you can change yourself. You can change how you are as a customer, you can change how you act, and you can change yourself as a service provider.
And I guess bottom line, too, is that we all know, and you share the example, too, and I've got examples, too. You've had bad customer service, and you don't go back.
You don't go back. And, you know, at some level, you're doing a disservice by not going back. I will make a choice of if I want to deal with it or not, if I'm interested. If the food was mediocre and the service was horrible, I'm probably not even going to go back, because why would I want to go back, even if I told the manager
right.
It's not going to change?
Better service, but still mediocre food.
Yes,
not good.
Yes.
Dawn, as always, hey, where can we find your book? If folks want to...
You can actually find it. How about this? You can find it on my website.
Okay.
And if you mark friend or family, or you mark that you saw me at an event, you have to mark both of those. Then you get the discounted rate. I'm on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and the most important one, Target.com. How cool is that? But really, the cheapest way to go is to get my book. I also have it on the back of my car. So if you see my logo on the back of my car, just flag me down, and I'll know what you need. I always have change.
I want your book. CustomerServiceAndBeyond.com is the website, or... right now, she's at 227 Market Street. Her vehicle's parked up front for a couple more minutes. Dawn, very, very nice to talk to you, and a pleasure meeting you. And I know, I'm sorry we missed each other at the Alton High thing. I told Dawn there, well, I didn't get there till I was late, first of all, because I was working and then went late to my thing, and she was there talking to the kids. But you had a great response experience there, too.
Great kids there.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dawn.
Thank you. Have a great day. Have a great customer service day.
I hope to. Thank you very much. We'll pause here for a few messages and continue. Let's talk. We can continue this topic if you'd like. Or branch off into others. We'll pause for a few messages and continue Let's Talk until 11 on Z1570.